Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told.
Because righteousness governs the world.
Come take a musical journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the ghettos of Kingston. A heartbreaking overdose. A disturbing discovery. The last chance to redeem a stolen legacy.
Broadcasting live and direct from the rolling red hills on the outskirts of Kingston, Jamaica. From a magical place at the intersection of words, sound, and power. The red light is on. Your dial is set. The frequency in tune to the Rootsland podcast. Stories that are music to your ears.
In the reggae anthem Get Up Stand Up, the Wailers sing, "Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told." My friend Brian always dreamed he could make the world a better place. Maybe by me telling his story, he still can.
Consequence Podcast Network presents Rootsland, Season 1, Reggae Junkie Joe.
Whole barrage of righteous people out there.
Because sometimes the story is the best song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with The interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. First off, thank you so much for making your way here, checking out this series. Hopefully, you dig what you hear enough to hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, maybe discover some new ones, at least know what's happening in the music world. Of course, you can subscribe anywhere you get your favorite podcast from, including iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or YouTube, where you'll also find the video version of this interview and all of our interviews as well. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I have the honor of talking to the one and only Sammy Hagar. He's got a brand new record called Lockdown 2020, along with his bandmates in the circle that include former Van Halen bandmate Michael Anthony, as well as Jason Bonham, son of John, and Vic Johnson, as they run through covers of their heroes, peers, and his own Van Halen catalog. In fact, they're covering folks like David Bowie, Buffalo Springfield, Bob Marley, and he's going to actually tell us about covering The Who's Won't Get Fooled Again, a song very famous for one of the best screams of all time, right? And Hagar, he doesn't have a bad scream on him himself. In fact, he even shows it off in this interview, so we're going to get into that. As far as writing vocal parts go, I did ask him if he regrets writing any parts in his past, and he says absolutely, and he'll talk about Van Halen's dreams. And on the subject of other Van Halen tracks, they also re-record or cover, however you look at that, the classic Right Now on this new Lockdown 2020 record. I want to talk about how that still speaks to today's environment. And he's also going to talk about some Van Halen stuff. Of course, the passing of Eddie Van Halen last year. They were sharing music. Sammy's going to talk about sharing music during the guitarist's final months. The talks about a possible reunion that they were having, and a willingness to be part of a future tribute show if it were to happen. It's such a fun interview. Let's get into it. Kyle Meredith with Sammy Hagar.
How are you? Calling me sir already. What are you? You're starting off on the wrong foot, Kyle.
it's the Midwest thing. You know, I've got it's the Midwest. That's what I'll blame it on right now.
I am an elder. Okay, I'll accept being sir now. All right. It's good to be here.
This record, this album, this collection, whatever you want to call it, Lockdown 2020, is such a fun and unexpected listen, I guess. I mean, this has got to be a very different record for you. How different does this feel? This feels like an entirely different record than anything you've ever done.
Well, it really is. And it's so cool to be able to have discovered my iPhone, all of us, and be able to make a frigging record with a video on iPhones. You know, normally you go in the studio for months, you slave, and you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, I always have anyway. And that's even before you shoot any videos. We got it all done at once. And it's like, you know, it's interesting sounding. I think it sounds interesting because what the little speaker on an iPhone, you know, you're playing a bass to that. Michael Anthony's playing loud in a room and just recording it on the freaking, you know, on the micro. I'm holding the damn microphone selfie and singing right into it with my iPhones and, you know, listening to the rest of the band. So it's isolated. And then we give all them parts and my guy just mixes it. Boom. Okay, you're done. It's like, it was a blast. And especially that I only had to sing a song. I'd sing it 3 times. That's the way I did my part. They had the music. I would sing it 3 times and I'd send it to my guy and say, pick the best one. In the studio, I'd be in there 3 days slaving, you know, like whipping me. That one note's off a little bit. You know, we didn't give a fuck about that kind of stuff. And I think that's the magic of the record. It's so damn real and so much fun. And we had nothing to prove, not trying to sell records. We didn't even know we was going to make a record. We just decided to do it. I mean, you got 11 songs. Fuck it. We got a record. And, you know, anyway, it's fun. It was really, a really fun, unexpected project.
And for the folks who don't know, I mean, this basically is a covers record. I mean, you're using some of your originals, kind of doing the re-recording of them. Is it different covering people you know versus people that you don't? Like, is it different covering your peers?
Well, when you pick on somebody like Little Richard, you're going to sing a Little Richard song, my favorite vocalist of all time. I think he was the baddest rock and roll singer ever. I wish he would have made more records. But Bon Scott, you know, AC/DC song, a whole lot of Rosie. I wasn't scared because we were just doing something for free, saying it doesn't matter. It's going to be on my Instagram post, but it blew up kind of more than we expected. And yeah, I get nervous, you know, saying when Jason Bonham said, let's do fucking Whole Lotta Rosie. I'm going, are you crazy? Like, man, dude, you know, we've played it in Cabo before when we jam, but to say yeah, I'm going to bite that off. But yeah, I got to say, it's makes me suck it up and try a little harder, and not just like Three Little Birds is so unique. I'd never sang a song like that before. So, you know, singing a Bob Marley song was fun. I wasn't scared, you know, I wasn't or anything. But when you start pumping out A Whole Lot of Rosie, man, you know, it's like, woo, I had to really suck it up and scream. And I loved it. You know, when it was done, I had goosebumps, you know, so I'm going, all right.
Well, I mean, this is, speaking of screamings, right, you know, from the beginning there, we hear you guys do Won't Get Fooled Again. Now, I saw the track list before I heard it, and I thought, oh, man, that's got to take balls, because you're talking about one of the greatest screams of all time. Now, you guys only do a 2-minute version of this, but you start out with a scream. And is that intimidating?
No, I'm a screamer. I can scream. I grew up on James Brown. James Brown and Wilson Pickett were my first kind of thing. I want to sing like that, you know. And then I start hearing Paul Rodgers and Rod Stewart. I say, oh, no, I want to sing like that. Mick Jagger, oh, I want to sing like that. You know, I mean, I'm the same age as all these guys, but I started late. But I was, you know, wanting to sing like James Brown. I was singing James Brown song in a band called the Justice Brothers. We were a soul band. And I was always screaming, you know, hey, wow, yeah, oh, hell yeah, I can do it anytime. Now watch, the maid's going to come running in here going, are you okay?
I've already got my money's worth right now. That was it. I'll buy the ticket. Take the ride.
No, I can scream. So the scream I wasn't afraid of, it's remembering somebody else's lyrics that are really hard. I got to tell you. Because I can't just sit and read lyrics. So I had to study a little bit, because I know the song, but I don't know every word, you know, mm-hmm. Like what was that song? Put on my something and smile at the sky. I thought he was saying, get all my papers or put on my peepers. That's what I was always singing, but it's something else. I don't even remember what it is now.
You know? I'd always wondered, you know, Roger Daltrey, I think now is like, I wondered now he ever regretted writing, you know, having to do that in the microphone, because it's so expected. And it doesn't sound like you, I mean, have you written any vocal parts back then? And, you know, when you've got the freedom of youth where you don't care, that now you're going, okay, all right, here we go again.
Dreams, Van Halen's song Dreams. That is the highest song ever. I can't even sing that way. I mean, I can't. Even back then I had to cheat when we did it live. And now we tuned down a whole step, and I really, you know, I do a slow version of it where we've even changed the key in order to do it, because it's such a great song. I love singing it. I love that song. But yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, man, when I walked in that studio that day and Mick Jones says, what about this little piece? He was producing us, the guy from Foreigner. And he said, what about this little piano thing Eddie's got, you know, and a little synth part. And I said, yeah, that's cool. Let me just see how I can sing to it. And I start singing, and I'm going, wow, I can hit those notes. And Mick's going, holy shit, you know. And we did it. I wrote, started writing the lyrics and just did it. And then I'm going, whoa, every time I try to sing it live, it's a song you don't sing backstage. You get on stage, 18,000 people screaming, you're all fired up, then you give it a shot. But you don't sit around the house saying, let me warm up on that song. The other one was Don't Tell Me What Love Can Do, that Van Halen song, which I did paint myself into a corner there because I started real low. And that's another one Jason challenged me. Let's do that song. So we lowered the key a little bit, but I hit the notes. I felt pretty good about that. Yeah. Hey, listen, cool. Man, getting old is fucked up.
But it is cool hearing all of these. And of course, when you start to look at the songs that you all have chosen, given that the time that we were in, there's so many of these songs that obviously seems like they're speaking to the time that we were in. Even Won't Get Fooled Again, Three Little Birds. You know, this sounds more of a rallying cry now than I think even, I mean, and it was a rallying cry when Bob Marley wrote it, but it sounds like it's even more. How much of the current situation influenced the choices?
100%. We started off having fun with that little song, Funky Funk Sway. We had been working on that. The last show we played was in, where it was, San Antonio, Texas. And backstage before the show, we started playing Funky Funk Sway. You know, it was a James Brown riff. Here you go. And I was saying, she got that funky funk sway. And it's so much fun. So we said, let's just do this song and see what happens, right? Short version. Then we said, oh, let's do Don't Be Fooled, Won't Get Fooled Again. And we started having fun with this. You know, my social media guy said, these things are blowing up. You need to do one every week. And I'm going, are you? Damn, it put me to work. But so then we got, then all of a sudden we all thought, oh, this will be over in 2 months. We'll be back on the road. And then 2 months later, it's not over. And then it's starting to get worse. And then I started thinking about making a message and making people feel good. That's the first one when I said, you know, people need to think everything's going to be okay. You know, that was the Bob Marley thing, Three Little Birds. what a sweet song too. When you really study that song to do it like that, I had to listen to it 100 times. You realize it's such a sweet song. We're talking about three little birds singing on his doorstep and telling his woman, you know, that's what, this is my message to you. It's going to be all right. Oh, it touches my heart. And it really still does. I mean, right now I just got goosebumps. So I thought people need that. So I want to bring that. So that was my fans, if nobody else is going to hear it, make them feel good. And it did. Everyone said, oh, thank you for this. Thank you for this. And so then I started thinking, ah, let's go back, have fun. Then, oh no, let's get serious. We'll do right now. Let's talk about right now. This is what we need right now, not tomorrow. Right now we need to take action and do this, you know, during the elections and all that stuff. And then, you know, it just was one thing after the other like that. And then it's, oh no, let's have fun again. And then heroes at the end, when you see all, when you really think about the doctors and the damn grocery store clerks having to go there and sell the food to people with masks on and COVID, everyone is so scared. First responders and brave people, heroes became normal people. Normal people became heroes to me. You know, not just the firemen and the policemen and the soldiers and the doctors, the common people that had to go out and deal with other humans to keep the system going. I got real impressed and touched by that. And I thought, let's do this heroes thing. And we come up with the concept about the newspaper and all that. And heroes was another tough one for me. I didn't think I could sing that low. I wasn't even going to do it. I said, I'm not going to sing that low. You know, you guys just record it. I'll sing it the way I sing it. And then when I went in to sing it, I went into my studio, because by then we could wear masks and be around each other. So I went into my studio myself with the track and I sang it low. And I'm going, oh man, this is terrible. And my engineers go, no, it's pretty good. Just try it again. I tried it three times and I said, shit, you know. So I go in and, oh, come in and listen to this. And I come in and I go, wow, it felt like shit singing like that. I mean, was no fun. I felt like fucking Elvis or something, you know? So I went to my high register. I said, oh, this is great now. But when I heard it back, I thought, it's soulful. It just, I've never sang like that. So it felt weird. You ever do something that doesn't feel right, but it's like, man, this really felt fucked up. And you do. And then all you look back and go, wow, that was really cool. I mean, it's kind of like that.
I think it's how I refer to my kid, actually. Like at the beginning, like, oh, that was, oh, this is really cool. It's. No, I mean, you know, covering Bowie, I mean, that's a thing that a lot of people try and not everybody pulls off. And this is a really good version, of it. And I should also mention this is tricky to say, how fun it is to listen to For What It's Worth. Because For What It's Worth is another one of those songs. It's not exactly supposed to be a big sing-along. It's a message. But at the same time, I'm in, you know, my house or the shower or whatever, and I'm doing the harmonies with all of you guys and I'm going around. I mean, that was a really good recording too.
I forgot about that one. You know, you talked about what created the songs. Well, that at that point, the COVID thing, I was getting paranoid. Then it was not afraid of getting it. I was getting paranoid that something's going on here. You know, this just doesn't seem quite right. You know what I mean? All of a sudden we've had flus before. You know, I went into that, you know, that state of mind where I said, this is a conspiracy, you know? And so I said, let's do that song.
Paranoia runs deep.
It's funny because the last 2020 created so many different moods. I think it's what makes this little record kind of special and a real piece of art. You know, if you want to call me an artist, okay. I think it's my personal view of the whole thing because it's how I felt that. And then it's, oh no, I felt like this now. Oh no, this is serious. Oh no, we got to help these people. You know, I went through all that freaking roller coaster ride that we're still on. The craziest thing is, there may be a lockdown 2021 coming up next
year. I hope not.
I'm telling you. But you know, it is. It's really an extension of a person's, a band, really. It's, you know, the whole band we're involved in is completely. But it's an extension of that. And I never, you made me feel that just now with this interview, that I see it, that's really what it was. It was a piece of 2020 art. There it is. There's Sammy Hagar's, you know, painting for you, you know. Well,
it's, you know, and let me tie some, you know, the present to the past and everything, because you brought up Right Now, and you guys do re-record that on here. And I started thinking about what that song might have originally meant versus what it has come to mean, especially, you know, in this moment right here. You know, thinking back when you wrote that too, I mean, it was the turn of the decade. A lot of musicians, especially of your all's era, were starting to not get away from party songs altogether, but at the same time start to be more socially conscious. You know, there was Russia and there was Germany and there was everything that was happening. And I guess what I'm asking is, to you, has that song sort of changed the way, you know, it's been heard throughout the years to what it represents in this moment right here?
Yeah, it's amazing how that song is becoming timeless, but it came from a timeless place. I had been reading a Zen philosophy book by some Zen philosopher, I didn't even know who it was, back when we were working on Foreign Lawful Carnal Knowledge, that record. I was laying on the beach, and that's an old Zen philosophy, you know, be here right now, be in the now. So it being that meaningful and deep of a conscious to begin with, where it came from, it does do well in the future. It seems to, you know, it goes right along with the times, and it'll always be a valid thing to say. And when we sing it now, and, you know, I save you the trouble of asking, with Eddie's passing, the first time we played that song after he passed, which was really close to us, 3 or 4 days afterwards, we had that pay-per-view for my birthday bash in Catalina, and 2 days before it, Eddie passes, and Mike and I are going, wow, you know, we got to go out and perform for these TV cameras, and we spent all this money for this big production, and now we got to, I mean, it was difficult. But that song was, it made it all make sense. What are we going to do, Mike? Well, we're going to play this music right now. We're going to play it, and we're going to play it again in the future. And music is going to carry on from us. That's all we can do. You know, I can't help what happened to Eddie, and it's horrible, but I can play the music for the fans and make sure it never dies. And there's a little Instagram post from somebody, just somebody, fans website, and they got a picture of Eddie, and he's holding, right now, I just saw it this morning, he's holding this little piece of paper, and it says, "The music will last forever. Just push play." I think they made it. I don't think whatever he was holding up, they made it a piece of paper with some scribbles on it. And I thought, yes, it's true. It's so true. And that song right now, more than any, is the one that says it all. We sing that song, goosebump time. Everybody screams right now. Yep. So yeah, it fit with the times really well. And it was thought of that way when we did the lockdown session and said, hey, people need this song right now. You know, I love it when you make a mistake in your life, not a mistake, when you just try something. Van Halen at that time, we were the party band of all time. You know, before that record, we were a party band singing on Top of the World, Finish, Come On Baby, Finish What You Started, Good Enough to Eat, oh, yeah, you know. And then I thought, I'm going to write this song, you know, and Eddie was playing this piano part, and I'm going, maybe it'll work with that. And I had it in my head right now. Anyway, we took a chance with it, and I think it was an important turn for the band at that time. We got a little respect from Rolling Stone and people like that all of a sudden, instead of everybody shooting bullets at us for being too much fun. You guys are having too much fun. We don't like that.
It will outlive all of us, that song right there. I was interview that I was doing earlier this week was with John Bon Jovi, and he said a line that, you know, writing music is the closest you'll ever come to being immortal. And, you know, it's something I thought of, but kind of hearing it in that context right there and hearing a song like this, I mean, it's absolutely true. This is one of those songs, you know, it's one of those.
If you write one of those in your lifetime, God bless you. You did good, you know. And there's people, you know, that write a couple dozen of them, John Lennon, people like that, you know. But, you know, if you just write one, you're okay, I think.
You're okay. I would ask real quick, only because it was brought up. Do you know if Eddie got to hear any of these re-recordings that you guys were doing? Were you having that kind of dialogue at that point?
Yeah. And you know what? I sent him one of them. I don't remember which one. I sent it to him in a text, and he sent me some of Wolfie's stuff. You know, we were sharing music, and I also sent him when Bill Withers died. I was just, the second I heard it, I actually read it on Flea's Instagram post. He did this gorgeous, the guy's so damn, he's the greatest writer, man. This guy should just, man, he can write books all day long. So he wrote this wonderful thing about Bill Withers being his pop sensibility and how he did it with so much soul and gave dignity to pop music or whatever he said. And it really touched me. I picked up my guitar and I played Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. And I started playing it. I said, oh, I got to do this. So I put my phone on selfie and I sang a verse of it. And then I broke down and I had to stop. And I'm a Bill Withers fan. That guy was the greatest singer. And I sent it to Ed at that time, and he went, you know, gave me love on it, like fucking cool, you know. And I put it on my Instagram post, but that was before lockdowns, I think, but right around that time. But you know, the lockdown sessions, you know, a guy who Eddie and I, who had our problems there for so many years, and then reconnecting right before COVID, it was so awesome. I didn't want to, oh, check out what I'm doing, you know what I mean? And he ain't going to check out what I'm doing. We didn't go there. Our texts and conversations were plain and simple. Hey man, how you doing? You know, and he started opening up to me about how sick he was. And dude, I just had this tumor on the side of my neck. And so I was just always checking on him, see how he was doing. And that was our relationship. It was pretty cool. Hey, when can we get together? Like, hey Ed, tell me when you're ready. I'm gonna drive over and I'm gonna cook you a big old spaghetti dinner, you know? And it was, we were talking like that. We were talking about, you know, it's like a guy's got cancer and is on his deathbed. You know, we ain't talking about how much money you got in the bank, you know? It's kind of like, we were kind of trying to be friends and soulful and let each other know we're okay and I'm there for you. And, you know, there was talk of a reunion next year, you know, and he's saying, hey man, let's not talk about this to anyone because, you know, we don't want to sit around answering questions about, well, what's going on? What's going on? You know, Van Halen always stirs up a lot of interest because they had so much mystique. No one ever knew what we were doing, you know, in the old days. So, but we were talking about, hey man, let's go make some noise next year, man. Hey, come on, get well. We got to go out and we got to do it one time for the big time, the whole gang. Yeah. You know? So that was very hard to keep zipped, but never happened.
I guess there's a rumor. I don't know if it's your rumor or whatever, but of a possible tribute concert at some points with
it's not my singers. Rumor. I have nothing to do with the legacy. That's their business. That's Wolfie, Alex, Van Halen, their family members. Whoever wants to call me up and say, here's the date, I will be there. And I don't care where I am. I'll cancel a show. Something Van Halen would never do. You know? I always make that joke about, you know, canceling a show is like Van Halen. Like I went out sick without being able to sing. Eddie went out with a crutch. Alex went out with a fucking neck brace. We wouldn't cancel shows, but I will cancel my show for Van Halen and for a tribute to Eddie any day. But there's not a lot of word of that. It's just, we got to get back to work first. They got to start allowing us to get in the same place because that's not going to be a social distance event. Let me tell you that right.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I know we'll all be looking forward if that happens. I mean, that's be a special thing, you know, to kind of see that. I want to bring it back really quickly to this Lockdown 2020 record again, because, one, that's the main subject here. Two, it is such a cool record. And the way you talk about it, the way you've talked about how much fun you've had making it and this different style. I mean, I've got a quote that you had said in another interview, the most creative thing musically I've done in a long time. How do you see this affecting? I mean, would you do something like this on a new album? You know, do you see these kind of practices making their way over to something new?
Well, you know, you don't sell records anymore. You know what I mean? Like a physical record, you know, the circles space between album we put out a couple years ago, the studio album, we put our 6 months time in and write, you know, a really concept record, probably the best record, solo type record I ever made in my life. You know, don't compare it to Van Halen, don't compare it to Montrose, don't compare it to Chickenfoot, Sammy Hagar record. This was fucking deep for me. And, you know, it went to number one in four categories and number four overall in the top 200. And it sold like, I think like 44,000 records the first week. Mm-hmm. It's like if Van Halen would have sold 44,000 first record, they would have threw us off the record label. Instead, I'm getting love and praise. Wow, you had a number one, entered number one, you know, rock charts and that, and that. So you don't sell records anymore. And that would, by the way, is huge compared to what, you know, we'd sell today if we did the same every year. It was less and less and less, all about streaming. So if you don't worry about selling records, if you just do it for the art form and not go in there and try to make the most audio incredible record, you know, like, oh my God, it's going to blow people's minds when they hear the sound. I'm over that. It's all been done. And technology is actually getting worse because digital sound is not as good as the old analog sound, in my opinion, and putting on a vinyl record. So I'd say we could make records like this if we wanted to, but I don't know why we would do it. I got a studio. We could go in anytime and make a record. So I don't know what the hell we're going to do. I just want to get back out on the road. I want to play live music for the people. And I can see us playing this lockdown session in the middle of the set, the way you used to break down and do an acoustic thing. I could see the four of us, Jason getting on his little drum pads, his electronic drum set it up in the middle of the arena, you know, or an amphitheater, put it out in the audience, and we walk out on the thing, and we all sit down with the little amps like we did it in our homes, and just do it, and do it just like we did it on the record. I can hear Heroes in a second. I can hear the song Right Now the way we played it in a second. They would sound really good. Won't Be Fooled Again, Three Little Birds. I don't know, like a little sing-along. Okay, a little hootenanny, and then we go back up, crank up through our big stuff, and go back to our classics. Our other classics, I guess. I'm never getting out of that classic category, am I? I'm happy, man, there.
Yeah, well, it would be so fun. It's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner than later. I mean, I think there's so much optimism right now, which isn't something that I felt, you know, even 3-4 months ago. I'm finally, personally speaking, starting to feel that. So, you know,
I'm ready.
Every little thing's going to be all right, right?
Ah, there you go. I'm going to end on that note. You know, my voice is all scratchy right now because I'm just starting to sing. So maybe there's, you know, I'm one of those guys that feel things and just kind of, I'm like an amoeba. If I'm hot, I move towards cold. If I'm cold, I move towards hot. If I'm hungry, I go eat. If I'm not hungry, I stop eating. You know, it's like, that's the kind of way I live my life. I'm really pretty organic. And I've been practicing singing. I got my little amp over here, and I got my Les Paul sitting here. And before I called you, I was cranked up. I was trying to warm my voice up, get it up in the, see if I can get up into the supersonic range. And for some reason, I've been doing that for last week. So maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe I'm feeling, yeah, there's going to be a gig coming up. I better be ready, you know? And it's true. I mean, I really feel that in my heart now that you brought it up again. I say, well, you know, maybe that's why I'm, for some reason, doing that, you know, because it's like exercise. Who the hell wants to do it? You know what I mean? Who wants to go to the gym? I don't, but you do. You got to say, well, I better go to the gym. You know, I'm going to take my shirt off tomorrow.
Yeah, I've got more of the pandemic body right now, so I'm not even going to attempt that part. Right?
I got 10. You can, if you need to borrow 10, I got them for you. Just let me know.
It's, you know, 7 inches of snow outside my window. I haven't left the house in 2 weeks, so it's whatever.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Sammy, it is Lockdown 2020. What a fun record. For horrible reasons that it had to happen, you guys made the best of it and made such a cool little album out of it. So thank you so much for doing that. And dude, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it too.
Thank you, Kyle. It's been an honor being here. My son, I have a 34-year-old son, Andrew, who plays and sings music and everything. He goes, wait a minute, you're going on that show? I said, yeah, I got to go. I was talking to him. He's like, yeah, I've got to Zoom. He's going, oh man. And, you know, he's a huge fan. I'm going,
oh, dude, that's so cool.
Yeah,
so
the
cool,
young,
yeah.
You know, the young bucks. But thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Sammy. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Peace out, as Ringo would say.
My thanks to the Red Rocker himself, Sammy Hagar. Again, Sammy Hagar in the Circle. The new record is called Lockdown 2020. It only takes a half an hour to go through the whole thing, and it will brighten up your day. I promise you that one. Big thanks to you as well for checking out this episode. Before you get out, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to right now or one of your favorite podcast places like iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or YouTube, again, where you can actually watch this interview that we did. He's such an animated character. It's a fun one to watch. I promise you that one. Just subscribe to Kyle Meredith With wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. And afterward, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m., an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, and some really fun theme time radio hours as well. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of them, at Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm kind of an unkempt human being, if you know what I mean. And so I have to like get dressed up for you and put on a shirt and stuff.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.